Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up in a few moments, the World Council of Churches looks back to its founding assembly exactly 60 years ago. And ecumenism in Ukraine. Churches join forces to promote Christian social teaching in the post-communist society. This past weekend in Amsterdam, religious leaders of different Christian denominations came together to mark the 60th anniversary of the founding of the World Council of Churches. This important milestone of the ecumenical movement has already been celebrated at other events earlier this year, including a service in Geneva last February, attended by the spiritual leader of the Orthodox world, the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew I. But last Saturday marked 60 years to the day since the original 147 members of the World Council of Churches met in a church in the Dutch capital for their founding assembly on August 23, 1948.
The World Council of Churches, meeting at Amsterdam, sends this message of greeting to all who are in Christ and to all who wait for his word.
On that occasion, one of the delegates, Church of Scotland missionary and Bishop Leslie Newbiggin, read the following statement on behalf of the gathered assembly.
We bless God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gathers together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad. He has brought us here together at Amsterdam. We are divided from one another, not only in matters of faith, order and tradition, but also by pride of nation, class and race. We cannot make the church one, but Christ has made us his own, and he is not divided. In seeking him, we find one another.
Six decades on from that landmark gathering, the Geneva-based World Council of Churches now includes 349 member churches in countries around the world. They are still committed to the same goals of working for Christian unity and witnessing to the gospel values. This past weekend, the current leaders of the council have been paying tribute to the vision of those founding members at a prayer service in that same church, as well as other commemorative events, including the presentation of a book entitled The Ecumenical Movement at a Crossroads.
There are new challenges to the unity of the church. I would call it the challenge of post-denominationalism.
Reverend Dr. Samuel Kobia from the Methodist Church in Kenya is General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. He told me more about the vision that inspired those founding members in the aftermath of the Second World War.
There are two major driving forces, really. One is those church leaders at the time who, without consultation, felt that the time had come for the churches to overcome the historical divisions and come together in response to Jesus' prayer that they all may be one, as it is stated in John chapter 17 and verse 21. And the feeling that divisions in the churches was a scandal to the gospel of Jesus Christ was a very strong motivating factor. The second one, and the one that is known much more publicly, was the concern that war and violence and conflicts were working against God's design of what humanity should be and what our world and the society should be like. And that is why the first General Assembly, or the inaugural assembly, 60 years to the day here in Amsterdam, had the theme, God's design and man's disorder. And therefore, coming at the end of the Second World War, it was felt that the church and the Christians had a responsibility towards the rest of the world, whereby human beings will learn how to live together in peace and in harmony.
And 60 years on, those two themes, if you like, those two strands are very much still at the heart of the work of the World Council of Churches, aren't they? Both promoting Christian unity and promoting a Christian response to the conflicts, the violence that persist in today's world.
Yes, it did. And I would say that when you look at the work of the World Council in these last 60 years, we have provided a platform for churches to have a chance to work together for visible unity. And in this, on this score, the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church have continued the legacy of faith and order, which was an ecumenical stream that had been started long before the World Council of Churches itself was inaugurated, at a time when faith and order as an ecumenical movement itself, together with the other strand, which clearly represents the other side of how to respond to the situation in the world, which was called the Life and Work Movement. They came together in Amsterdam in 1948 to form the World Council of Churches. And so faith and order has continued to be the major platform for the WCC representing all our member churches and the Catholic Church, and I think together we have made commendable steps towards visible unity. Obviously, we still have a long way to go, but this, I think, has remained one of our main aspects of the ecumenical movement in the 20th and now 21st century.
As you say, Catholics are full members of that Faith and Order Commission, and yet the Catholic Church is not officially a part of the World Council of Churches. Would you like to see a stronger participation or even full membership of the Catholic Church in the Council?
Yes, the Catholic Church has remained a very strong participant in the faith and order work. And I would say that if the Catholic Church was not a member of Faith and Order, particularly, I think we certainly would have missed out on an extremely important contribution to the search for Christian unity. Now, the discussion about the membership, the formal membership of the Roman Catholic Church in the WCC has been going on since the time of the formation of the World Council of Churches. But we do understand that given that the WCC is a membership organization that brings together national churches which are affiliate members of the WCC, the Roman Catholic Church said, look, we are a global church, and therefore membership in the sense of national churches or national denominations at national level being members of WCC, perhaps it would be a bit of an anomaly, I would say. Nevertheless, I would want really to see the participation of the Catholic Church at the national and regional levels, and in many cases this is the case. I would like to see that more strongly because it would enrich the national councils of churches, for example, where in some cases we find the work like faith and order being quite weak. And therefore, while I'm very happy with our work on the area of faith and order and the Catholic Church I would want to see more participation at the national level. I think at the world level, the joint working group provides us with a platform where we have continued to work very closely and very well together.
What do you see as the main challenges to the World Council of Churches and indeed to the ecumenical movement at this point? I mean, there are many who are saying visible unity is further away today than it was even perhaps those 60 years ago when it was founded.
Yes, I would say that the challenge of unity still remains the biggest challenge. And it is true that there are new challenges to unity of the church. I would call it the challenge of post-denominationalism. Because there are many of our member churches who today are themselves facing very serious challenge even at the level of a denomination, because there are now so many congregations that are emerging as non-denominational congregations, so that you will find many Methodists and Anglicans and Presbyterians attending churches to which they are not themselves committed to, even at denominational level. And I think the ecumenical movement is going to face this as a major challenge in the 21st century, where we see our attempt to overcome doctrinal differences being now put at the back burner, if you will, because that is no longer as critical to the younger generation. They do not see doctrines, as far as they are concerned, as being major obstacles in the way they relate to other Christians. So that remains a major challenge. The second one is at the ethical level, where I see some of the church dividing issues now in the 21st century being those of ethical nature, like sexuality, where you find that how each church and the churches together trying to deal with the issue of homosexuality, the issue of stem cell research, the issue of abortion. And therefore, you'll find that in these issues, there is danger of more division even at the denominational level.
If you had to look back and say, perhaps, what is the greatest achievement of the World Council of Churches, what would you say?
I would look at two areas in which I would say the World Council of Churches has really made a significant contribution. One is in search for unity. Together with the Catholic Church, I would say that the work on Baptist, Eucharist, and ministry remains, I would say, the most significant achievement that we have had. And so far, there has been a mutual recognition of baptism in a way that if WCC did not take initiative and provide platforms for that, I would say we wouldn't have achieved as much. So that is one area I would say that we have made a very specific contribution in the search for visible unity. And we continue to work on the area of Eucharist and the ministry. The second one, I would say that what the World Council set to do in 1948, and that is to challenge the world on issues that have to do with discrimination, for example, racial discrimination, the issues of poverty, the issues of caring for the creation. I would say that long before even the United Nations took these issues as seriously as they do today, leave alone the civil society, the World Council of Churches, especially because of the motivation of the first General Assembly, has continued to talk of responsible society, not lining with any one particular ideology, but saying that if we are to be responsible to each other as human beings, then it is possible to work for those things that affirm the dignity of human beings. So I would say these really are two areas that I would like to cite as contributions and the achievements of the WCC.
And my thanks there to Dr. Samuel Kobia from the Methodist Church in Kenya, the current General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. Catholics in Ukraine joined with other Christian churches recently to celebrate the first ecumenical social week in the western city of Lviv, an ancient crossroads of East and Western cultures and religions. The initiative, modelled on the French Semaine Sociale, was jointly organised by the Ukrainian Catholic University and the Lviv City Council, in partnership with the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council, the World Council of Churches and other organisations. Its aim was to improve relations between and encourage participation in Christian and Jewish social organisations, and to present Christian social teaching as a source of practical solutions for some of the problems of contemporary society. Events included everything from conferences and roundtable discussions to rock concerts, exhibitions and theatre performances.
And people came. I would prefer to have much more people, but you know, it was the maybe, I would say, 10,000 people who were at these events.
Antoine Arzhakovsky is director of the Institute of Ecumenical Studies, set up in 2004 as part of the Ukrainian Catholic University in Lviv.
We have lots of good news. The first good news is that we received the blessing of all Christian churches in Lviv, which is for me very important, because sometimes people think that Western Ukraine is a problem for ecumenical dialogue. But in reality, if we meet the bishops and if we speak about what is important for Christians and the priority is to fulfill the gospel, to help the neighbor, so then they agree and they say, yes, of course, we may have some theological disagreements, but on the most important, we agree. And I was happy to not only receive the blessing, but also all the bishops came, from the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, Moscow Patriarchate, from the Greek Catholic Church, from the Roman Catholic Church. The nuncio came from Kiev and Protestants also, and different other Orthodox churches, so Armenian Church. Everyone came and spoke and said good words of the necessity to work together for prisoners, for people with disabilities, for children who are in the streets, things like that. So this is for me the first good news. Then among the other good news for us at the Ukrainian Catholic University, at the Institute of Ecumenical Studies, it was the first time that we were working closely with the city hall of Lviv and with the region of Lviv, but also with Katerina Yushchenko, who is the First Lady of Ukraine and the president of the Foundation Ukraine 3000. And so there was a sort of cooperation between civil society and state structures, and these state structures also put money in the project. It was not only, you know, words, but concretely they gave also financial support to the project. And that allowed us to bring 40 associations, social charities, like the Caritas, of course, but many others, 40 of them, and not only Christian. We were, for instance, in a Jewish social organization, Chesed Aryeh, and it was good to meet the old people who were gathered there, and this organization is working with them. Then lots of events happened during the week, you know, because it was a conference, for instance, an academic conference on the cooperative movement, which is not only a Ukrainian movement of the beginning of the 20th century. It's everywhere at the beginning of the 20th century in Europe, in Canada, in the States. It was a sort of third way between liberal capitalism and socialism, Marxism. It was the idea of promoting subsidiarity, responsibility, solidarity of the community. And today, Michel Candessu came. He was the previous general director of the International Monetary Fund. He came to say, this is very actual. It's not only the past, it's the future. And this is exactly what Mohamed Yunus, the Nobel Prize, also said many times, with the importance of the credit unions, the microcredit, that kind of things.
Would you say that perhaps these events mark a new stage in the relationship between the church and the government? You mentioned the support of national institutions and national politicians. Is this a beginning of a new development in the relationship since the post-Soviet period?
I think so, because really all the people around me told me how important it was. It's a premiere, really, and it's possible in Lviv, because in Lviv there is a desire of putting together Christian principles, but also to work in a European way of respecting all the viewpoints, the freedom of consciousness. There is an awareness of this difficulty that is not easy to solve in Western Europe or Canada or in America. Here the idea is to invent a new model of relationships between state structures and civil society, and the main idea is to put things in an ecumenical way. If churches may find an agreement, a consensus on main issues. For instance, we spoke about the necessity to rewrite the law on tax law on social organizations. So if there is a consensus between churches on main subjects, then it's easier for state structures that they remember, of course, that the Christians are the big majority of the citizens of Ukraine, to fulfill the proposals from this forum, this network. We created an expert committee with the experts from different churches, different organizations, states and civil organizations. And we published a declaration on Friday, which was at the press conference. And in this declaration, some proposals were given to the political leaders who came, because there was not only Katerina Yushchenko and the local leaders, but also from Kiev, the head of the Christian Democratic Party, who is deputy at the Rada, Mr. Stretovich. We gave them this text with concrete proposals also how we plan to work together and how we will create, for instance, a master program in ecumenical studies which will form social worker, and how it could be a model not only for Lviv but for other universities in Ukraine.
You say that the churches have a shared vision around these social issues, and yet, as you mentioned, there are also many problems, many obstacles, aren't there, between the different churches, particularly between the Orthodox and the Greek Catholic Church there in Western Ukraine?
Well, there is some difficulties connected with the past. You know, there is the idea that the Greek Catholic Church says that the synod of 1946 that eliminated this church was not a real synod. This is the position of the Greek Catholic Church. And the Orthodox Church, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which is connected with the Moscow Patriarchate, says, no, it was a real synod, and this church asked to come back inside the Orthodox Church of the Moscow Patriarchate. And still now it's a real problem that there is not a consensus on what happened during the Soviet time. And because of that, lots of problems arised in the 90s when freedom came and there was a necessity to share the building, the churches. So I would say that on the level of buildings, of properties, now it's easier. The crisis is behind us. But on the level of mutual recognition, it is still not solved. And that's why at the Institute of Ecumenical Studies, with our students, we write lots of theses, master theses on concrete issues that happened in the 90s. And we show that, in fact, the problem was not really interconfessional. It was often connected with many other problems. Sometimes, for instance, it was inside the Orthodox Church, between the Kievan Patriarchate and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, Moscow Patriarchate, that problem appeared. Or when it was between the Greek Catholics and the Orthodox, it was not necessarily the desire of the bishops, and often Bishop Augustine, who is the head of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, Moscow Patriarchate, says, I have no problem with the bishop, the Greek Catholic bishop of Lviv, Monseigneur Igor Wozniak. I have no problem with him. The problem is mainly with the state authorities, with the city hall, which doesn't give me the possibility to build a church. So when you go in the detail, you see that the picture is different, and it's too simple to reduce this conflict as a confessional, interconfessional conflict. So the social week is a possibility for these churches to work together, to know much more each other, to remember that the problem is not often between them, but is connected with other causes. And that, I hope, little by little, will help us to come back to this main difficulty of understanding the past, understanding the history and healing the memories.
You say that Ukraine is still predominantly a Christian nation, and yet it is facing some of the same problems of secularism that is facing most of the former Soviet countries, isn't it?
Well, my opinion is that Ukraine has a Christian culture, and that Ukraine has a majority of baptized Christian people. But I would not say that Ukraine is a Christian country. I would say, on the contrary, that after the Soviet time, after so many years of persecutions and of official atheistic ideology, Ukraine is in a very bad situation, and the secularization of the Soviet time received a second wave from the 90s. And when you look at different figures, for instance, well, all the questions, the social problems of the development of AIDS, or the difficulty to for the churches to work socially, or the attendance of on Sunday at liturgies or Mesa, you see that there is a big problem of communication between churches, official institutions, structures, and the population, the people. So there is a desire from Ukrainians to come back to a sort of post-confessional and a new Christian era, but they don't know how to do. The leader of the party of the regions, they all said publicly that they believe in God, in Christ, and so on. But then how to teach, for instance, Christian ethics in the school, they didn't find agreement how to do that. So there is lots of things to do together. If there is an ecumenical consensus, for instance, on how to teach Christian ethics, then they will do that, because they really want to create a new society grounded on Christian principles. And that's exactly what Katerina Yushchenko said during her speech at the Ecumenical Social Week.
Many thanks there to Dr. Antoine Arzhakovsky, Director of the Institute of Ecumenical Studies at the Ukrainian Catholic University in Lviv. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.